Intervju Radija Študent.
Lep pozdrav v Erš intervjuju, tokrat z mano Trace Pruens, torej Trace, ki ga poznamo iz zasedbe oziroma prvšo je danes iz zasedbo Secret Chiefs. Is it Secret Chiefs free or
yes.
Free? Mm-hmm. I wasn't certain about, you know, the number. Is it just Secret Chiefs or...
No, it has, so a, it has a three.
Aha, okay. Torej, zasedbe takih posebnežov, niti ne vem, jaz sam ne bi znal opredeliti, bomo vprašali kar Treja, torej, kako se on sam opredeli. So, Trey, you know, usually when I do interviews, I tell in my announcement what kind of music the bands are playing, but this is really difficult with your band. You know, so when people ask you what kind of music do you play, do you usually tell them, you know, start telling this album was we were playing metal, this album was playing ethnic music, this album film music, or do you have a sort of common term you use?
I guess I like to be challenged by the question because I just try to read the person asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because there isn't a good answer. Even if we said, you know, this album... You know, it's each song is very different. There isn't really one album that's all metal or all folkloric or something. So, if I was to answer the question, I would say it's in this case.
In this case, which case?
In the case of talking to you.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I think of it though. I've used this metaphor recently. It's like a chef. You know, it's a difference between a stew, where you just put everything together. You have multiple ingredients. You put everything together. And what we do is different. It's more like a tapas or a meze. You know, there's different plates.
Mm-hmm. Kind of arranged, but yeah, I mean...
And they're very distinct. You know, you keep them very separate. They're very distinct, but they complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's not really about mixing styles. It's more about isolating an idea or a series of ideas so that they're very clear. And mm-hmm. then you can, you know, you can have a wide experience that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a nice interpretation. You know, maybe, is this your first time in this studio? Because
yes.
you were here a couple of years ago, but I don't know if we did the interview at that time.
I don't think so, no.
Mm-hmm. You know, currently you are on tour in Europe. You just did, you've been on a tour for quite a while now, did several shows. How is the tour going so far?
Really, really good. We started... Well, we didn't start, but in the last, I think the last 8 shows have all been in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And the driving has been crazy. You know, some of them are all night drives with no sleep. so we're in some ways exhausted, but I can tell you that for us, like the energy in Bulgaria and Romania, we played 3 shows in Romania. And in Serbia, you know, we have a lot of friends. It just, there's this kind of energy exchange with the audience that's really incomparable to anywhere else. It's so much fun for us.
Well, you said you played several gigs in Eastern Europe, but you will also play in Western Europe. Particularly, what I noticed was that maybe roughly, you know, half of the shows on this tour you will play in France. So what is special about France? Is it, are you that popular there, or is it just that you like France so much?
Yeah, there's two answers to that question. The first is very mundane. Our booking agent is French, and he tours with us, and he knows France very well. But there is another side of it, which is that actually the ideas behind Secret Chiefs 3, the sort of conceptual, or I would hesitate to say spiritual basis, but what the sort of cosmological perspective of the band is really filtered through French writers, like Henri Corbin, René Guénon, I don't know, most of the ideas that are flourishing in Secret Chiefs actually have they don't have an origin in French thought, or but they have the presentation to us in the West, to the English speaking, is it's all these French translations, you know, English translations of French books. So there's something natural about that. There's something maybe that English and French and Americans are thirsting for that's missing, and I think that the French tend to articulate that best. That's my personal opinion.
Well, yeah, that's a nice explanation, you know, because you're certainly not an easy to promote pop band, you know. I mean, you have to have a certain, I mean, it's challenging music and it requires a sort of trained ear, or you must find something intriguing in that music to really, you know, catch your attention. And then again, as you say, you have lots of fans in France, but then again, they're probably not all musicologists and philosophers, you know, and they don't treat the authors you mentioned, and so
yeah, you got that right.
Yeah,
it's a very strange. Yeah, that's true.
You know, speaking of this, how important is the rational versus the initiative aspect, you know, when it comes to music, or perhaps particularly to the music of Secret Chiefs?
Yeah, it's, this is another thing you can, from our perspective, we can notice whether an audience is standing back stroking their beards, you know, or feeling challenged because it's not in 4/4 time, or it's not in a Western system of tonality, or an audience where it's, those things are not a novelty, they're completely natural, and people are not, you know, stroking their faces and scratching their heads about it, they're dancing, you know. I think most of Secret Chiefs music, it has a basis in movement and dance, actually. So what we consider to be like odd time signatures, for us, they're, you know, we're very at home in this, and we dance. And in a lot of parts of the world, it's very natural to dance to rhythms other than 4/4 time. We seem to do well on the heart or in the intuitive part in those parts of the world. And then we sort of do well in the intellectual, rationalistic, you know, it's kind of a north-south thing. Not completely, but there's, you know, when you're above the equator, the more cool and intellectual it gets, the farther north you go. It's true. The more fiery and, you know, and intense it gets, the farther south you go.
You know, when you were talking this about strange time signatures, you know, maybe this is another reason, or time signatures that we are not used to here in Western part of the world. But maybe this is another reason why you are more popular in France, because they have, you know, many musicians from Africa and even Middle East and so, and they're more exposed to this music that...
Absolutely. It's not such a novelty there. People are exposed to everything in France, so they're not looking at us thinking that we're, you know, trying to break a bunch of rules or something. It's judged on whether it's musical or not, you know, which is right. I agree with that completely.
You know, you're probably still most known for as a former member of Mr. Bungle and Faith No More, which was definitely, you know, more accessible music to most people. So do you see Secret Chiefs as a kind of logical progression, or do you feel you turned completely new page with Secret Chiefs?
I do feel that it's pretty different. I would even say the only thing that makes Mr. Bungle more accessible than Secret Chiefs is the fact that it was on a major label. Like, if we listen to...
You don't find it more, like, playful compared to Secret Chiefs 3?
Yeah, maybe Secret Chiefs has a little bit more of a serious side or something like that. Yeah, that's for sure. But then again, you know, that it's hard to say what is accessible and what isn't. Certainly having a vocalist helps people relate to your music, and when you don't have one...
Especially if you have a charismatic vocalist like Mike.
that helps, you know? Mm. And we just have this, like, these shadowy figures that aren't saying anything. So yeah, I guess that's...
Mm-hmm. You know, you did a cover of Les Chansons de Jackie. I think it was released earlier this year.
That's right.
Mike was singing on this song. And this is a song that was originally, I think, written by Jacques Brel. Mm-hmm. And then Scott Walker did a cover of it. And you know, Scott is just putting out a new album, and his first single came out, I think, just recently.
Yeah, like a
and
couple
of really,
days ago.
It's really strange and, like, crazy, but really intriguing at the same time. And you know, he's been told before that he makes, like, recently eccentric music, you know, that, but he says, well, this is normal music to me. Does this apply to you and how you see your music as well? You know, I'm sure you were told before that you, by some people, that you make, like, eccentric music.
Yeah, it's funny. I guess I'll give you my honest opinion about that. I think it's really eccentric that what's considered mainstream is so repetitive and boring. It seems incredibly eccentric to me for humans with all of our abilities and with all of our, you know, sort of expansive consciousness.
Just limit yourself to that one.
Look back 100 years and, you know, you're not sitting there repeating something in a loop over and over again. I mean, what are we doing to ourselves? That's like an animal trapped in a cage walking in a circle because it's gone crazy. Mm-hmm. That, to me, that's eccentric. So what we do, to me, is very natural. It's our natural music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you just answered my next question, which was what you consider to be eccentric. So basically, this repetitive music that's been going on for hundreds of years.
If we're allowing a computer, which gives us the ability to do anything, and for some reason our reaction to it is to limit ourselves more, that's very strange. I find that incredibly eccentric.
Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to Warren Ellis recently of Dirty Free and Bad Seeds, and he said that, you know, while people or musicians are using the same 12 notes for thousands of years, there are still bands that occasionally occur, you know, that make something interesting out of those 12
mm-hmm.
notes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, is there a particular album you really enjoyed lately?
Yes. My favorite musician for the last few years is definitely Alim Gazimov. He's a...
I don't know him.
He's an Azeri, Azerbaijani musician. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, what you were just saying about the 12 notes that have been around forever. Actually, the 12 notes have only been around for 350 years. The chromatic scale is a very recent invention, but it's 7 notes. The diatonic system is ancient. And the makam, which is what... Makam and Dastgah are Turkish and Persian systems. That's what Alim Gazimov is, a traditional vocalist from those traditions. But he has an incredibly broad range. And to me, it's really about a musician being free because they're standing on top of such a firm basis as a scale that has a justification in nature. If the tuning of the tuning system that you're using resonates with the rest of the universe, that's a great advantage, in my opinion. So a vocalist like him, you can sense that from the minute he opens his mouth. Mm-hmm. This, to me, is very mysterious, and I'm very intimidated by it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you remember the first time you were exposed to this more Eastern side of music? Who was it that triggered your interest, you know, in this side of music?
I'm afraid it's not a very highbrow answer.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in San Francisco, and you know, I was very poor. I was living on like $600 a month or something, and but I was a voracious music listener, and it was too expensive to buy CDs. You know, I would go and, you know, I'd buy, you could never take a chance on a CD, you know, because it's too expensive. So you'd have to know what you're getting. So there's no adventure. And I realized that I could go into the Indian supermarkets, like where the, you know, where the, there's a bunch of Indian film soundtracks mixed in with the Carnatic music and just all mixed together in a box that's, you know, at the, on the bottom of a big pile of spices. Mm-hmm. And going through that record rack, pulling out a record for 90 cents, I realized I can buy 12 of these for the price of one CD. How about if I buy 12 of them, you know, take them home, listen to them, sort of catalog them. And I built up this, well, I realized that, you know, for my own taste, even if there only three of them are great, that's $12 that you just spent and got three albums worth of super great music that you'll always cherish. So this is how my introduction was actually through this very chaotic mix between traditional Indian and Bollywood soundtracks on records.
Mm-hmm. And when was this, like 15 years ago or about so?
92, 93, 94.
So it's a bit longer. Because, you know, Bollywood got quite popular lately again.
Yeah.
And people are going back, you know, discovering music from the past. Yeah, you know, but I think you said you lived in San Francisco, that there were quite a few Indian musicians coming there, you know, teaching ragas and stuff like
Absolutely,
that to, you know, American avant-garde musicians, like composers and...
Surely. I mean, where I live in the Bay Area is, you know, it's kind of the center of all that kind of stuff. The Ali Akbar Khan School is there.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we're not... Secret Chiefs has never really been part of any of that. The closest connection we have to that is that our former, well, actually we just played with him last 2 weeks ago, Avan Kang, our violinist, studied in India with a master violinist, Dr. N. Rajam, and is, you know, he's constantly playing with her students. So he's very literate in the actual traditional.
Yeah, I like him a lot, you know, and he does lots of nice collaborations, I mean, with interesting musicians.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whereas I am not literate at all. Like I'm from the dirty streets when it comes to that.
Yeah, so you say. You know, people tend to take your music as experimental often, but you know, that to me that somehow doesn't feel right, because I would say that you have a clear idea of what you want your music to sound like and that you're really good at executing those ideas, you know. So how do you feel about this?
I really wish that everybody looked at it the way you just said it, that, you know, experimentation is an experiment. I've done experimental music before, and it's very different than once you've done your experiment and you figured out how to do what you wanted to do. It's not an experiment anymore. It's the only experiment is, or let's say the X factor then becomes the magic that's created by people playing music, you know. So the musicians bring these variables into the into the thing, but
yeah, this was my next question, you know, because I read in some interview that it sometimes, or maybe one time, happened that you invited a musician you never played with before on a tour or maybe a concert to play with you, and you never rehearsed or anything, you just started playing. It seems that when you play live, that you play songs or compositions, you know. So how did that work out?
Yeah, well, I'm very lucky to be able to work with musicians that can, like, do their homework, get all of the structural elements together before we ever even play together. Mm-hmm. Like the keyboard player that you'll see tonight, I met him 3 days before our first show. We drove across the United States because a hurricane came. Anyway, that's a long story, but the rest of the band met him the day of our first show with him. Mm-hmm. And at soundcheck, we played two songs with him. So, I mean, that's kind of an extreme case, but he's such a genius. He's an absolute genius.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all quite worried about that show and that tour, but it was, obviously he's with us because there's nobody better.
Mm-hmm. You know, as we said in the beginning, it's been a couple of years since you performed here in Ljubljana. Can you tell us what changed for the band, for Secret Chiefs since then? You know, who's currently playing in the band?
Yes, last time we had, as I was saying, we had Jae Young Kim, who's a different keyboard player. And actually, Matt and he are very good friends. So we have Matt Lubovsky. And that's then also on the drums, instead of Chess Smith, we have Kenny Grohowski, who is also, I had never played one note with him until
this tour.
Yeah, on this tour. But somehow you just, you know, maybe it's just a matter of trust. We really have found the right people this way. I think if you hold auditions or do this kind of thing, it's just nonsense.
Mm.
It's more about if people know musicians, people who are close to me, and then they say, this is the perfect person. I trust that completely. Mm-hmm. It always works.
You know, I've seen several members of your, I mean, of the bands of the people that were involved with Secret Chiefs and many various formations, and it was always a nice experience, you know. So, and they're all exceptional musicians, so obviously.
In this, I think with this lineup, the very special thing about it, I think I'm really in love with this lineup that we have right now, because each musician is a composer. And I think that that's really the most important thing in Secret Chiefs 3 is for an instrumentalist to know their place, because there's no conductor. And mm-hmm. I'm not a dictator. Like, I'm not the kind of, you know, band leader that just sits there and waves his finger at everybody. You have to know where to be. And I think having a compositional mind is the is the way to make that a graceful thing in Secret Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, some composers can be quite stubborn as well, and they stick to their own ideas, so maybe, I mean, but yeah.
But you can't see, I would disagree, like, or not with what you said, but with the, you know, you can't, to me, there's records, you know, you make a recording. If you want to be a control freak, you consider yourself a conductor when you're producing a record.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But when you're in a live band environment, to force your vision on musicians kills the spirit. It kills it completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you have hardcore fans who I'm sure will be glad to see you again. But when do you say to yourself, this was a good gig? You said earlier that you had really good time in Serbia and Romania.
Yeah.
Because the energy between you and the fans was right.
It's something about the exchange of energy. It's not, you know, it's not whether they're kissing our asses or something, or, you know, I mean, there's critical people who would not be impressed, and you can see that in their eyes, you know. It's more when you know that you're actually sharing a musical experience together. Sometimes you feel very disconnected from audience, even if they're applauding and cheering and jumping up and down, and there's, you know, more than 1,000 of them or something, it can feel very distant.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in the same number of people, it can feel very good. So I don't think it's a function of numbers or how big or small the club is. It's really just
when everything comes together and works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we came to the end because we are out of time. So maybe just one more question.
Sure.
Before you, there's a British band called APATT, is mm-hmm. it spelled like APATT?
Or? That's right, yeah.
Uh-huh. And you know, I don't know much about them, so maybe you played several concerts with them. Maybe you can tell us a bit about how they sound. What do you think of them?
I can tell you this. This is probably the best way to say it. Is I've watched them now at least 25 times, and I can't figure out how they do what they do. It's, you know, any way you describe it is going to sound stupid. They're switching instruments all the time, you know. But it's everything is fluid. Somehow they just all know exactly what to do. It's very playful music, but without being stupid. I don't know how to say it. They're very high spirited, incredibly excellent musicians.
Well,
they scare me.
That sounds excellent. Maybe can you reveal a bit your repertoire for tonight, or what direction you think you will go in?
I'm pretty well. We're going to be playing our music that we call forms music, which is we incorporate a Wurlitzer pipe organ type of, mm-hmm. Which takes three people to play. That's kind of a new thing that we're doing. And then we have our Ishrakian music, which is the sort of Neo-Pythagorean folk music or something. And then surf music that's Western music, and then we have some horror film music, mm-hmm. quasi horror film music.
A mixture of things that you did in the past. I mean,
it's expanding now. We're starting to branch out quite a bit with our live show.
Mm-hmm. That Wurlitzer, is it Wurlitzer? You just mentioned. That I think is quite a big instrument. I mean, it's home built thing. Yeah. Like a big. How do you drive that around? Is it
you can't.
On wheels or?
No, we don't. There's a very advanced modeling system that eats an entire resources of a computer running 8 gigabytes called Hauptwerk. Mm-hmm. And it's something that only like pipe organ enthusiasts are into, and you know they spend foundations spend tens of thousands of dollars to model pipe organs all around Europe, and each one of them costs like $800. It's crazy. The system is insane, but I mean we had to have it, so we bring it on tour with us now.
Mm-hmm. Well, something else to hear. So thank you very much for coming to our studio, and
thanks for having
a nice gig tonight. Torej, tole je bil Trace Bruins iz zasedbe Secret Chiefs 3, ki jih boste danes večer lahko videli v menzi pri koritu, pred njimi pa kot rečen tudi britansko zasedbo APAY ATT. Intervju sem pripravil Goran, lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radia Študent.